This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. When Ants Tell a Story by J.M. Williams. Eirik watched the swarm of ants as they marched down the cracked cobblestone road, along the edges where the weeds had begun to reassert their dominance. The little red army marched in double file, around a corner into a small alley that seemed more jungle than street. If the weeds on the main road were just regaining their confidence, those in the alley were already proud conquerors. Eirik wondered what had seized the attention of the insects as to draw them out in such numbers. The young watchman stepped around the corner to investigate. The first thing he noticed, stepping into the overgrown backstreet, was the rotten smell. It was a stench that managed to be both sweet and sour at the same time. Eirik glanced ahead, but couldn't see anything in the forest of green. Grassy stalks stood above his knees, and vines covered the walls of the buildings lining the short alley, which was barely more than a man's height and width. The space extended only about triple that in length. The confined area only seemed to amplify the odor. Eirik covered his nose with a hand. He followed the ants as they weaved their way through the overgrowth. His foot abruptly struck something hidden in the grass. His foot had struck another foot. Eirik jumped back in shock. Hidden under the thick vegetation was a person lying on the ground. A man by the look of him, by what Eirik could see of him. The ants continued their march, bypassing and largely ignoring the body. "Excuse me, sir," Eirik asked. "Sir," he tried again. "Hello!" he shouted, giving the uncovered foot another good kicking. It did not respond. As his surprise faded, Eirik could tell the smell was coming from the body, or mostly from the body, at least the sour part of the odor. "This is not good." He pushed his way through the weeds and grass until he found the man's head, or what was left of it. The skull had been smashed. It rested in a thick pool of blood, which grass blades clung to like hairs to a sweaty brow. There was no mistaking murder. A wooden plank, stained an equally red tint, lay on the ground a few feet away. On the opposite side of the body, the formation of ants reached their destination, a spilled sack of sugar. A man killed over some white powder? It actually wasn't that hard to imagine. Sugar was a rare and expensive trade good from the South, but that didn't explain why the goods were still on the ground for the ants to pillage. Why hadn't the killer taken the bag? Eirik regretted not bringing Hunter along on his patrol today. The dog would have been able to track down his murderer without any trouble. It seemed he would have to try the old-fashioned way, by thinking the crime through. What was it that Sergeant Vaught always told him?
"Every object could be a clue. You have to decide which are evidence and which are worthless. Once you have your evidence, try to figure out how they connect into a story."
A story? Eirik examined the cloth bag that contained the sugar. It had a brand burned into the side. Kestrel Trading. He knew that place. A warehouse on the docks that exported copper and iron ores to the south and brought back goods from that region. How did this man get his hands on it? His hands? He reached over and grasped one of the lifeless arms, turning it over so he could see the palm. It was rough and calloused, like those of someone who labored every day. Appropriate for a dock worker. Eirik fumbled through the man's pockets and found a promissory note for 10 copper pieces, with the name Espen Helgeson written at the top, signed by Anson Briggs, taskmaster for Kestrel Trading. Eirik stepped over and picked up the murder weapon. The board was about 2 inches square in diameter and 2 foot long. It looked to be some sort of bracing beam and was made of good quality wood. Deciding that he had learned as much from the scene as he could by himself, he headed off back to the watch house to get Hunter and some more muscle, still holding the bloody board in his hand. The three watchmen Puri, Bjorki, and Eirik in the lead, marched through the open gates that led to Kestrel Trading's massive warehouse and dock. Near the gate, Eirik noticed a space that looked like it was being built into a new room. The open roof was braced with 2-foot-long beams. A pile of extras lay nearby. They were the same color and shape as the murder weapon. He was shaken from his stare by the shadow of movement in the corner of his view. A man in ragged work clothes was coming over to meet them.
"Can I help you?" he said.
"I'm looking for Anson Briggs," Eirik said.
"Of course, one moment."
The man turned and put a hand to his mouth.
"Hey, over! Get Anson, will ya?"
He turned back to the watchman.
"What is this about?"
"Did you know Espen Helgeson?"
"Sure, he works here. I haven't seen him in a couple of days."
"He's been murdered."
"What? No!"
The man appeared more nervous than sorrowful.
"Tell me," Eirik said, trying to focus his trail of thought. "You ship sugar here, right?"
"Yes, it's one of our most valuable trade items."
"How much would, say, a bag this size,"
Eirik gestured with his hands, "bring in?" The man's eyes widened for a brief moment. Then he regained his composure.
"Too much. No one person would buy that much at one time. It would cost more than a year's worth of food. Good food, even. And it would go bad before you could eat it all. Now that you mention it, we did have a sack that size go missing a few days ago."
"When Espen disappeared?"
"Yeah, just about."
"And that wasn't suspicious?"
Again, the man seemed shaken by the question. He glanced around before speaking again, quietly.
"Anson said not to worry about it. He said it must have simply been replaced, and that he would look into it, to make sure it never happened again."
"That was all? After such a significant loss?"
"Yeah, it was strange. But you quickly learn here not to argue with Anson Briggs."
As if on cue, the man named Orvar returned, following in the wake of a larger and more confident man. When the newcomer caught sight of the watchman in their armor, he stopped. Hunter started to growl. The big man turned to run, and the hound was after him. The three armored watchmen clanked along as best they could. Anson dashed into the warehouse, knocking over tables and tossing crates to deter the advancing dog. It didn't help. Even with a limp, Hunter was faster than him. She leapt over the obstacles, diving into the attack. Anson tried to pull the animal's teeth from his leg, but failed.
"All right, I did it. Just get this damn dog off me."
"Down, girl,"
Eirik commanded. The hound relented, but continued to growl at Anson threateningly.
"Why would you kill your own worker?" Eirik asked.
"'Cause he stole that sugar. I was going to run off with it. I had to make an example. Had to ensure it didn't happen again."
So do we," Eirik said, turning the larger man onto his stomach and binding his hands.
The dock workers watched in silence as Anson Briggs was dragged away. Author, teacher, historian, veteran, J.M. Williams is a fantasy and sci-fi author who is unabashedly into anything pulp. He has had more than 30 short fiction pieces accepted for publication in a wide range of venues, including Bards and Sages, Astounding Outpost, and The Uprising Review. He also earned an honorable mention in the 2017 Writers of the Future contest. His current works in progress are an epic fantasy series with Fiction Vortex and a novella with Fantasia Divinity, both due to release early in 2018. He lives in Korea with his wife and 10 cats, teaching, writing, and blogging at jmwilliams.site. And for anyone interested, this story is available in ebook format as part of the collection The Adventures of Eirik, which you can find on Amazon. Links in the description. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like the story, I post new ones every Monday and Friday. So be sure to hit that subscribe button.
I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.